Impossible True Stories from Beyond the Imagination. A podcast from the book Coma and Near-Death Experience, The Beautiful, Disturbing and Dangerous World of the Unconscious. Your host is Barry Mayer.
In some of our earlier episodes, we heard accounts from deep within the coma journeys to heaven and journeys to hell. This is Debbie's story. For Debbie, her actual coma was her heaven. She had never felt so happy, nor so at peace. She felt a love so pure, so deep, that she says it wasn't earthly. But for Debbie, her hell began when she came out of the coma. This is just one account from the book Coma and Near-Death Experience, The Beautiful, Disturbing and Dangerous World of the Unconscious. In many ways, Debbie's story is a familiar one to so many others who also survived a medically induced coma. Her life has not been the same since. She is not the person she was before. Not only is she a physical shadow of her former self with a memory shot full of holes, but those around her have changed too. Her world is now cold and uncaring, where nothing seems real. Never sure if she is alive or not, she longs to return to her coma.
It was such a mind-blowing, amazing experience. I was surrounded by the purest of untainted love in my coma. I miss it so much. It was enlightening and awe-inspiring, and not a love found anywhere on this earth. The love was flawless and completely pure, and it filled me. It was all around me. I grieve for it like the loss of a very close, dearly loved one. I feel a part of me never fully came back from my coma. I was filled with the purest of love by beings that were not aliens, but not human. They linked arms around my bed, which was more like a platform for a stage than an actual bed. They were levitating me up with their minds while I was flat on my back. They spoke to me with their minds to reassure me and make me know that I had to fight. They linked arms or hands and they filled me with love. They repaired all my internal life wounds and freed my mind and whole body of depression, of all the hurt and sadness. It was sucked out and pure love pumped in. It was overwhelmingly, beautifully, heavenly. They were my protectors. They chanted and reminded each other with their minds not to break the chain. I was aware they couldn't hold their position forever to protect me from death. They warned me not to catch eye with this gigantic, hulking, grey, dark smoke thing that was to the left. It was inactive or asleep, but moving in its dark corner. It was death. It was ominous, but not evil. I was aware that if I caught its eye and it became aware of me, it would try to take me, and that would be the end of me, for good. No heaven, no hell, just gone. Dead. I wasn't scared, I was just aware. It was just a matter-of-fact thing. It was ominously over there, and that thing was death. Whereas I guess the others were life, love, healers and protectors. But they needed my cooperation, my inner determination to fight and survive. Part of me is still semi-submerged, as if in quicksand. I'm in between worlds. Part of me is still on that bed, intubated. Am I really awake, or is this part of a long-term coma dream because everything since then has been strange and glitchy, so just off. Right, but not right. Differences that make me look more closely at people. They aren't who they were before, but a pretty good imitation. I can see people for who they truly are. These are not people or family I had before. Nothing seems real. Things seem staged. People look like actors. Everything has a sinister feel. My hell started after my coma, and it hasn't stopped since. There was something under the floor of the ICU once I was awake that wanted to get me. It was evil and had a vibration that I could feel like an earth tremor. I still feel it now, watching and waiting. Horrendous, very scary. It's the underworld where there's heat and steam and vibration, and everything is bathed in an orangey red amber glow. In ICU, there was a nurse with bloodstains on her uniform who looked like she belonged in an asylum porn film. She wanted to inject me in my stomach while an old demented hag peered around the door, cackling. Two nurses ranted on about devil and redemption. I kept quiet about most of it. I knew they'd keep me in longer if they knew what I could really see and feel. I kept my mouth shut.
That was Debbie's story, read to us by Nikki Woolard, and just one of many accounts from the book Coma and Near-Death Experience. Alan Pierce is co-author of the book. Alan, at first, Debbie's experience seems to resemble accounts from those who have used psychedelic drugs. Is something similar happening here?
Yeah, very, very much so. There are remarkable similarities between events within coma and those experienced by people experimenting with psychedelics. It's been shown that a key element of the brain, the part that regulates our conscious reality, the default mode network, is switched off when people experiment with psychedelics. It's also been shown to switch off during the deepest states of meditation, and it's been clearly demonstrated to switch off within coma, and this leads to an expansion of consciousness. On top of that, there's a naturally occurring psychedelic compound found in humans, DMT. I won't try to pronounce it. Doctors can't tell us where we produce it, they can't tell us why, but they can detect it within our systems when they look for it. And when you compare the experiences of people sampling the Amazonian mystic brew, ayahuasca, the active ingredient of which is DMT, they report remarkably similar events to those in coma and within the near-death experience. It seems that nature, or God, call it what you will, has given us something that eases our passing and possibly opens a gateway to what lies beyond. And we can see it clearly in coma. But when doctors place someone in the coma, they have no idea where they're sending them. And when they come back with accounts that would blow most minds, they're marked down as delirious. But coma is clearly opening gateways to other levels of existence, and science just doesn't want to go there.
Is it common that coma survivors wish they had never returned?
Yes and no. Those that experience nightmarish events within coma never want to go back. They don't even want to go to sleep because they fear going back to the very depths of hell. But for those that have beautiful experiences, like Debbie, that resemble the near-death experience, they've never known such happiness or joy. And this is especially true of those who find themselves teetering between this life and the next. And when you've experienced something like that, you just long to go back. And this is especially true for those who go on to suffer the terrible after effects of coma. So many just wish they had died in that moment, and they often do regret coming back.
Who do you hope will read your book?
This really is a book that every one of us should read because statistically, the events in this book could easily happen to any one of us. And people need to know just how dangerous this procedure is and how often entirely unnecessary. This is a public health scandal brought about by a lack of understanding, and it has to stop. People need to know that in this instance, doctors do not know best. You know, it wasn't that long ago, about 150 years or so, that doctors laughed at the suggestion that they should wash their hands before touching a patient. Today, we'd be horrified by any doctor who failed to scrub up before delivering a baby or delving into a patient's chest. So, sometime from now, I think people were just are going to be just as horrified by coma, if not more so. But it's a book for anyone who's ever wondered who we are and where we're ultimately going. This isn't really a medical book. It's not a scientific book. It's a book about us as humans. And it shows just how much more we're capable of. This is a mind-blowing read. It's a really fast-paced journey deep into these otherworldly realms. And it takes us to places that defy the imagination. Coma is truly a doorway to other realities. And let me just say this. If you're a coma survivor listening now, and you can't make people understand what you've been through or what you're going through now, then let them read the book. Let the book explain for you. Then they will understand.
Coma and Near-Death Experience, The Beautiful, Disturbing and Dangerous World of the Unconscious. Available to buy now.